Drown out the noise. Listen to the sound of my voice. And just take a second to refuel. Cause when you stop worrying about other people, life is kind of peaceful. So come, go through the motions with me. I want you to breathe in and hold it for free. Breathe in. And breathe out. Let go and release. This is your moment of peace.
Hey, what's happening? This is the Backbenchers Podcast, B-Side. My name is Uncle Barry.
Yes, Version, a.k.a. or rather, FKA, yes, Version, Dr. Mzee in the building.
Uh-huh.
In the middle of the week, bro.
Yes. WCW, when it mattered.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. The early days of Twitter, and those were the hashtags to use.
Yeah.
Because there was that the growth now.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Before we even start to me, that's how we easily get topics around here. It does be something somebody said. Mm. Or we drop new episodes every Tuesdays and Fridays, like the B-side. Today is Friday. We're taping this on a Wednesday. It's very chill in the evening. Yes, V and I, we've been kicking it for a minute now. But now we think we're ready for the mics. Shout outs to Murugi. Shout outs to Amphrey in absentia. Shout outs to you for listening and everyone out there. Whew, bro.
Yes,
where do you want to begin?
Heavyweights in the building. What's up, guys?
Dude cast.
Yeah.
Sometimes we act a fool when Murugi's not around, but today is not one of those days. Yeah, it's going to be a chill quickie.
Yeah, that's for sure, man. We want to hit you up real fast with the gatekeepers. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's a crazy topic, though.
Yeah. Talking gatekeepers.
Yeah, I think I really just
we can just start it from the top.
Yes,
for sure. Yeah,
straight from the
but
top.
Remind me, we'll have to go back to the early days of Twitter, and how we all got on Twitter. We make sure we touch on that.
Let's just get done with it right now.
Which one?
With the Twitter.
Oh yeah, because when you mentioned middle of the week, and that was WCW,
yeah,
Woman Crush Wednesday.
Yeah.
And I think I don't know. Just back in the days, Twitter was really. I mean, X now was really a stamp of authority. It was a serious media outlet.
Yeah.
I mean, that is what really... To date, yes.
Yeah.
But I think there's kind of way with time, some of the things have lost maybe meaning or not really losing meaning, but, you know, we don't even want to talk about the power in the blue ticks yet.
Yeah,
I'm just trying to say how Twitter is one of those first things. You know, sometimes you're in a place where you're in town... You're on traffic, but you see some smoke somewhere. Where are you going to check the news to know what's happening there?
Mm-hmm.
That is Twitter for you.
Mm-hmm.
Twitter has always been that way for so many people. It's when information is spreading fast.
Yeah,
I mean, that is where people are talking about it. Like
the latest shit.
Yeah.
The latest breaking news.
Yeah.
The major media houses.
Uh-huh.
Use Twitter as their major social media outlet
for digital print now.
Yes.
Yeah. I think it really is, because that is where you're going to make statements when it comes to apologies,
mm-hmm.
like posters, like upcoming things, like digitally.
Mm-hmm.
Like even social media wasn't there. People have now careers because of social media, like becoming a social media manager, you know. But I'm just thinking in the angle where, I mean, just solely the impact of Twitter, because Twitter is like a digital if you just talk about solely media and now news outlets, it's like a digital nation media house,
mm-hmm.
or maybe a digital print,
because
when we consider everything, trends and all that, weather, all that, I mean fashion, everything, it looks like you have a magazine here, you have a book, You have a newspaper, all in one as an app.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Because I also remember the situation with the Trump deleting his tweets, uh-huh. how that was wild and crazy, uh-huh. you know, and how everyone was just like, how can you be trusted if you're gonna delete your tweets. Yeah. You know, it was wild.
Yeah.
It's just mad how it's an imprint.
Mm-hmm.
And now going to things like TBT.
Oh. The hashtags. The trending
now. Yeah, it's crazy. Now they have the old word there, like Terrace Tuesday.
Oh. It's not terrific anymore.
No, it's Terrace Tuesday, bro.
Oh.
Some nice tits there.
I wonder what Tuesday was before, because I think Monday was Man Crush Monday.
It was MCM. Tuesday. Tuesday and Thursday was for TBT. Throwback.
But Thursday was really TBT though.
The main.
Yeah, we're coming close to the weekend. You know, Thursday we get to play old school. Then Friday it's the bangers. We wanna like dance, bro.
Mm-hmm.
Then Saturday we might wind down to some jazz. I mean, we chill.
Yeah,
we're trying to get some energy for Monday. We're trying to rest. So I think maybe what are you saying?
You're talking hashtags.
Yeah. Then Friday was TGIF.
TGIF.
Thank God it's Friday.
Thank God it's Friday. Yeah, there's a jam. Thank God it's Friday.
I've never heard of it.
I've never heard of it.
Yeah.
Quite a cool jam.
Yeah. But I just like the fact that I was here through the inception of Twitter and the growth of it and even what it's become. Like, even to a point where we didn't even know, like, nobody even knew, like, Jack Dorsey would sell that up. Because what it really, what it made it.
Power of money.
Yeah, bro.
When you really need it.
Talk about it. He didn't even need it. He was pressed to it. So, I mean, talk about numbers, though.
That's for sure.
Yeah.
I see that. You might not really need that money.
Yeah.
But the numbers might overwhelm.
Bro, you're like, shit, I'm set for like, 7 generations to come, bro. Like, that's crazy. New money.
Uh-huh.
So I think it was pressed to that. And then there's this case of, I mean, you remember when Twitter came, the only Jack Dorsey could tweet.
Yes.
Before they, I mean, just the development of everything and how they came and made it simpler.
Mm-hmm.
I was listening to a Jay-Z track and he was saying 144 tweet and characters in these tweets. He was talking about Twitter.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's what track is that?
Yeah. 144.
Yeah, it's on Holy Grail though.
Characters in these streets.
Yeah, he was talking about Twitter now in the raps.
Mm-hmm.
And that was before, because Twitter used to be like, you couldn't tweet a maximum of over 140 like tweet characters.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why the threads thing came into play.
Oh, nice. Because
now if you have a story, you go and thread about it.
Okay.
You're like, oh shit, okay, next. Mm-hmm. And now that's how things started trending. That's how now we build a thread. We build a thread. Because people have commenting here, they comment to this, they're retweeting this, where they like this one, they're reacting to that. So the comment section was really wild on Twitter.
Mm-hmm.
Way before like comment section in IG was a thing. Because I still even think comment section in IG still doesn't really pop like it wouldn't pop on Twitter.
Your hate for IG is real, bro.
No, it ain't hate though. I'm hating. I'm just trying to talk about the impact Twitter's really had.
I see it. I'm just guilty.
Talk about people like using it as a tool of like, let's say now, making a statement. Because you know, when you post a picture, I mean, you can even deny posting. I mean, let's say a picture you've been tagged on. I mean, you didn't have the power. That's not at liberty.
Yeah.
That's not willing. That's not for me.
Yes.
But if you tweet, we know you really mean it.
Yeah.
Yeah. So when people, when celebrities usually, when have like domestic violence,
mm-hmm.
and now they still feel like they owe the world an apology, where do they send the apology on? It's always been Twitter.
Yes. So it's always been Twitter.
Oh shit! But let's move to something serious. Yeah, it's called X now. Excuse me if maybe you feel offended. I'm still on there at Uncle Barry, Essential Dude.
And your ex is also there.
Yeah, my ex. she's still liking my tweets, bookmarking.
Uh-huh. I'm also there, Dr. Mzee.
Yeah.
Ongonga.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Follow the pod too at Backbenchers. Get it right at Backbenchers.
Get it right.
Yeah. So talk about gatekeepers.
Oh yeah. It's something that has been wilding out here from Catriel's interview with Sheshe.
Mm-hmm.
It was kind of highlighting on guys who are trying to, you know, like maneuver the industry by not really involving others in the right way or something like that, I guess. So there was a lot about gatekeeping, you know, and I found it interesting because I think it's something that I've heard of a lot, if not 10 times, maybe 20 times. And I feel most people don't really know what it is.
Yeah.
To some level.
That's for sure.
Yeah.
But I think really it's everywhere, if you ask me.
That's for sure.
I think it's all industries.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. In some places, we wouldn't even call it gatekeeping, but I think it's really everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
But I think some people get into situations where they just have to be like gatekeepers.
Mm.
Like, let's say in a space where we want a top DJ, and there's only one top DJ. Like, everybody knows, even the other DJs know there's only one top DJ. Some people will feel like it's gatekeeping. But for the people who, let's say the guys who are making the bookings, the guys who are booking the top DJs, they want to book him because people are talking numbers, everybody's talking sales. But the rest of the industry is like, why are you not putting us on? Like, hey, bro, like, like, what's the thing? Like, why? We feel like all the big corporates, or maybe like when everyone is looking for somebody, they always come to you, even when you look like you're overbooked. So when you're overbooked, you feel like, hey, bro, by there, like, what's the hookup here? Yeah.
Let me ask you, is there a limit to putting someone on?
There's no limit.
Yeah.
I think the problem is usually with the person you put on.
Mm-hmm.
Some people really don't take it. They have to really be... Some people, they want to be shown the ropes. Like, okay, now clearly, this is now me showing you, like, hey, bro, now wake up. This is me putting you on. Some people, you know, like, you can't take a cow to the river and tell it to to drink up, you know.
Like, that's not dust, that's water. It's just...
Yeah. So some people, they'll bring you into space and then expect you to... like mingle and network your way around this place. Like, I've already brought you within these kind of buildings, within this meeting space. Like I've invited you for a conference that has this, like, people maybe things you're interested in. Like, it's environmental, some awareness kind of conferencing, and I know you're really passionate about the environment. And I bring you to this space. I think I've put you on, if you ask me.
That's a shame.
But for some people, they will still want to be put on to some point where, okay, please get me so-and-so's number, while so-and-so was in the same tent with you for a week.
He should have gotten his number.
Exactly. So I think there has to be a limit to it. Maybe it's relative, because for some people, they feel like, hey, I think I've done enough. Like, even when, let's say, what's a good example? Because we've seen when you're joining school, or maybe some
school father,
school fathers, or not even the school fathers, left for somebody who is not stable enough to join school, let's say in Form 1 college comfortably, like the other students, they might need help. Then they get the help, and the help stops there.
So that is not appropriately putting someone on, or what?
I don't know. That's a vague example. I don't know how to break it down, but I feel like maybe the first one really does it for me.
The first one really does it.
Yeah.
Because just on what you're saying, it is really a thin line. Because me putting you on also doesn't mean that I'm gonna take credit for your work. After the outcome, you know. Me putting you on should be me giving you this this opportunity for you to do something with it. And me distancing myself from it. Right?
Yes.
I feel that is more appropriate, putting people on that maybe some people lack. Just also interestingly, last year there was a whole trend with Kipchoge and being a gatekeeper.
Him?
Yes.
Oh, that is why I wanted. That is a good example of a circumstantial gatekeeper now, because no one comes close to his accolades. All the corporate, it's gone international to a point where like everyone is now looking to work with him. I mean, he's getting like these long-term deals with big corporates to a point where, I mean, you're like, okay, now who's next? Because you have to really build a name. That's why when I say the top DJ, you might find like there's so many DJs that are really good ones. Everybody's getting booked, but somebody's overbooked.
Yeah.
Or he's always playing somewhere, biggest concert everywhere. Yeah. He's playing abroad everywhere.
Yeah.
But like even the producer, like even in music, the producer, let's say if it's your run, usually it's going to be like everywhere, cooking soul. Like it's going to be if it's your moment, it's Hit Boy now with Nas. Look at what they've done. Like
I love that. I mean, example. Like
three albums in
2 years?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah. Or maybe three, I'm not certain, but they've really done.
I think 3 years.
Yeah. King's Disease 2 and 3.
And
Magic.
Magic 3.
Bro!
Crazy.
I think, I need facts on that. It's more than
I love that example because that was a really nice example of putting someone on. Because it's from them working together that Nas even got his first Grammy Award.
You see?
So I feel it should be something impactful as that and objective really.
Yeah. Like more or less a win-win situation for everyone.
Yes.
Yeah. Like if I put you on, you win, I win.
Yes, you win, I win. Sure.
Because I'm proud when you say, or maybe when I just see you thriving, that's the fact that I gave you the opportunity, bro. That makes me proud.
Yeah.
Like when you mention school fathers in high school.
Yeah.
When they see you also come out, like, yo, bro, you also finished. Oh, what grade did you get? Oh, nice. That's good.
That was like also even a nice example.
You meet up with them in campus, they feel so proud of themselves because they give you a nice foundation.
That's for sure.
Yeah.
Because it was always first year, second year, when you get to third year,
you get to be in our school father as well.
Yeah, and he will probably be in fourth year or something when you get to like to your form two. So he might shift even not being your school father or being a school father to another form one.
Oh, actually, ours was different. This is how it really, because it happened even while you sleep on the bed.
Oh, nice.
So it used to be like a double decker, right?
Yeah.
But so if you're form one, you're definitely flying. You're going on top. That's what we call it. No, fly. Like if you're flying, you're on top. Pause. Big pause, bro. So if you're form one, when you come, you get your school father is a form three. So when you get to form two, he goes to form four. And at the time when he's a form three, he sleeps on the lower bed.
Yeah.
You fly on your first year. Your second year, you fly while still a form four. When he leaves, you inherit the bed. Because he's going to be the same cubicle until you finish your 4 years.
That's a shame.
So he goes, you're now in form three. It's the same year in form three, there's a new form one. So you get your school son.
Your own school son.
Yeah, so it was always a rotational. Popping. Yeah. But for some people, if let's say you got a lower bed, let's say in a less populated dormitory.
Yeah.
It used to be like a bragging rights, bro. For like, because you're form one, you're sleeping on a lower bed, bro.
That was and also just on this matter. I also feel it should be someone who is able to think, you know, and also to learn. In the sense that if the environment is not really gonna work for you, then you really need to learn the few things that you can learn, change your course, you know, because not all the time you'll be having someone who wanna put you on and maybe put you on in good faith, you know. So maybe it could be a nice learning field.
Yeah. I totally get you. Because I feel like you saying this and we were having this conversation earlier, just cover a random topic, and we decided to chop it down, you know. Mm-hmm. Because I've been in a situation where it's like, okay, when any industry, when there's a gatekeeper or not, mm-hmm. I feel like there's always like there's somebody who's been there and done it.
Yeah.
Or maybe there's somebody you look up to,
mm-hmm.
then you maybe, because there's only, I mean, even in sport, yeah, there's your rookie year.
Then you find out, this guy can't really help us get there.
Or maybe in some cases, mm-hmm. but I feel like always there's somebody you look up to, or maybe somebody who's showing you the ropes.
Mm-hmm.
Then you start gaining experience. Mm-hmm. You also get to show someone the ropes.
Mm-hmm.
So I feel like everything, every industry, it should always all work like that.
Yeah.
Yeah, because when I got... When I started working with my employers,
yeah.
I joined in as an intern.
Mm-hmm.
They showed me how the work is done, what they expect of you. Then you get your opportunity. Mm-hmm. You also do the work properly how it's done. You get your opportunity when now other trainees come. Mm-hmm. You also have to show them how you were shown the job, because that's what they expected of them.
Nice.
Up to a point where, shout outs to Mary,
mm-hmm.
I showed her the ropes, had the opportunity to that,
mm-hmm.
privilege,
mm-hmm.
Grateful to that, mm-hmm. and she even got the job permanently.
Nice.
You get.
Nice.
So I feel like it should be but a win-win. Like, yeah. when you win, I win. Because yeah. now we even here, we're talking of a story where I feel like, oh shit, I won at some point, because mm-hmm. I feel like, oh, if somebody managed to show me the ropes, and I earn the spot, and I show somebody the rope, and they also earn the spot, mm-hmm. then that is how you didn't work. Because now we also expect her to do the same thing.
Yes, that's
like,
for sure.
What should we... What, I mean, like, it would be a character of you if you break the chain.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, even in a session, if you break the chain.
and it reminds me also something that you were saying earlier,
uh-huh.
about how it would be easier, mm-hmm. if we could... open more opportunities for more people,
mm-hmm.
so that we widen the market.
Exactly, bro.
Yeah,
bro.
Because if you keep it to yourself,
uh-huh.
there's at some point there's going to be a gap, uh-huh. in the market.
Bro, do you know we are always partying whenever we are having a conversation?
Yeah.
Because earlier we were in town and we were talking of like every single shop in town, or maybe we went to a certain building.
Mm-hmm.
We were changing screen for a phone.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody is selling the same items, mm-hmm. and nobody looks out of business.
Yes, everybody's on business, bro.
And we call
unity.
Yes, we call that soko. We call mm-hmm. that market.
Yeah.
And when you want to beef with next man because he's selling the same HP laptops that you're selling, mm-hmm. you feel bad. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's bad because...
Then you should stop selling HP, man.
Yeah.
You should go get go for maybe Toshiba, Mark you or something.
Yeah, look at you, fool. So I feel when we're talking about the now ongoing podcast beef in KE, I don't want to get part of it, but
mm-hmm.
shit.
Mm-hmm.
Let's get down.
Mm-hmm.
I don't like it how other guys are calling other people their podcast and now... It looks like it's all beef.
Yeah.
Okay. Yes, controversy is always good,
mm-hmm.
but when it gets too personal, where you feel like, oh shit, bro, you're getting too personal.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. Maybe I don't know. Some like this shit is different, bro.
Let's first of all get it off air.
Let's,
you know.
Yeah.
Let's meet up and you know, let's kick it out.
Yeah. I feel like if you're gonna have pod beefs on air, it should be healthy.
Yeah.
You shouldn't get to a point where we the listener feels like, hey, bro, you're saying too much.
True.
Yeah, you're being offensive now.
Mm-hmm.
You get me? Because we're going to have this kind of beef. So it's still the same industry. It's still the same HP and the same Toshiba, bro.
That's for sure.
But yeah, so next man is moving in and selling only Macs. He's attracting a different crowd.
That's for sure.
But I feel like we should really be, we take care of the market.
Mm-hmm.
Just let's just make sure... In whatever we do, we just, even when you're Uber driver, mm-hmm. this is a very good example.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
When you're trying to be fishy, you take a customer to this place and now, like let's say like where I stay, the building has no name to date. It's like a month in. I don't know if they're planning to have a name for it. So when I think when I was coming, when we were with you, we Ubered and we used an apartment close to this.
Yeah.
So when we come and maybe the driver is like, no, you didn't. Yeah, that's not the place you requested for. You know, when you try to be rude to other clients, you're killing the gig for other drivers as well.
That's real.
Because now next time they're skeptical to take an Uber because, the river, no, you know what they say, oh, blah, 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 this is not the destination. Like, that's it's always something. That's so take care of the market.
Yeah. And also it goes down to little things as price.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's a price that if you set, let's say you're the big shot, and you do something for a month, let's say like even a quarter of the amount that
other people I'm selling
quoting, or the most of the people quoting, then definitely you're killing the market for us.
Yeah,
they will always go for you.
Yeah,
with their, you know.
True.
Yeah, so it is a really broad thing.
Yeah,
and thin line.
Yeah, this is actually a topic that needs a main podcast. We can do this on the B side.
But I love that we really touched on it.
Yeah. I like it. I think it's we really should, because I know in so many listeners and so many like podders, I mean, we are in different industries.
Mm-hmm.
Like, but the minute you're listening to this podcast, guess what? You're in the podcasting industry,
because
the podcasting industry ain't an industry without the audience.
Yeah.
So you're part of this industry.
Mm-hmm.
So when you go on Twitter and maybe tweet at somebody, or maybe tweet on a topic, or maybe contribute to one, you're still part of the show.
That's for sure.
When you're sharing this to your friends, to your family, everyone you love. And speaking of that, make sure you share the Backbenchers podcast to everyone you love, including me. If you feel like there's an episode I should listen to,
yes,
maybe I said something stupid, send that to me.
if you need us to repeat an episode,
we can gladly do that.
You can repeat that.
Yeah. Oh man, it's been real. It's been nice. I love making this podcast, and many more to come.
Yo, it's been love. It's been love. Stop gatekeeping. Open the way. Man, help your families. Help your brothers. Help your sisters. Because if you're gatekeeping, your sister is definitely not getting food at home.
Yeah.
Yeah, because that really means you don't care. You don't care about what's happening at home.
For shizzle.
So please style up. This is 2024.
Bye.
Dr. Mzee in the building. Hope you're ready for the next episode. Hey.